Studios. This is Martin Zender. How's that for coincidence? And you're at the Revelation series, and I'm happy you're here. I really am. This is really getting fun for me. I enjoy the company. It's like I'm talking to you. It's like we're sitting across from each other at your kitchen table. I'm hearing from a lot of you, and I really need that, and I love it. And so if you even get the inclination, write me and let me know you're listening to this series, because, you know, I'm staring at a blank wall here. But as you write me and you tell me that you're listening and you're getting it and you're loving it and you're glad I'm doing it, and I can picture you. I can see you. I remember this show I watched when I was a kid. It was called, what was that, Romper Room? And the lady that was running the show, I forget what her name was, she'd put a mirror up at the end of the show and she'd say, "I see Jimmy and Susie and Billy and Martin." And you were just thrilled when she said your name. It's like, she sees me. She sees me. It was so exciting. So I see you out there watching this show. But I'm glad you're here. We're a family. We're getting to be that way, aren't we? So, yeah, you can tell I'm just loose and relaxed and loving it. I told you I was going to talk about the animals today, the four animals that surround the throne. But I'm going to do that a little later, probably this week. But right now, today, I want to tell you about the new song of the animals and the elders. We have the four animals. King James calls them beasts, which is a bestial translation. We have four animals, and we have that represent the animal kingdom. I'm going to get to that. So great. I told you on Friday that I love puppies and kitties and bunnies and baby turtles, baby ducks, duckies. I love all those things. And you've noticed I've made a couple videos telling you that you will see your pets, your animals in heaven, that they are going to be returned to God and conscious for eternity, because if there's a soulish body, there's a spiritual body also. And animals are living souls. We know this from Genesis. So the animals at the throne, getting ahead of myself, are representative of the animals on earth. And so it's so great to know that even though we might treat them cheaply, not me, we might abuse them, not me, I hate it when animals are abused, that they have a representative before the throne of God, each of them. And this is just really great. So the new song of the animals, in Revelation 5:9, we read this. This is a song that the animals and the elders sing. They're brought here because of this epic event that God is about to bring judgment. The 24 elders are called from the 24 corners of the celestial universe. And the four animals, they're not very far away ever. And they're called together because there is a seal. There is a scroll, a seven-sealed scroll that's about to be opened that will bring in the judgments that will change the heavens and the earth for the eons. And here's the song they sing as they're gathered together and they're about to witness the opening of this scroll. "Worthy art thou to be taking the scroll and to open its seals, for thou wast slain and dost buy us, thou dost buy us for our God by thy blood. Out of every tribe and language and people and nations, thou dost also make them a kingdom and priesthood for our God, and they will be reigning on the earth." Now, there's popular theology out there, and you know, when I say popular theology, you can probably assume right away that it's wrong theology because it's popular. The 24 elders are not redeemed sinners, and neither are the animals. There is so much intensity in your standard issue interpretations of this that they're trying to put the modern day Christians, the church, in the book of Revelation. So these are redeemed sinners because, you know, Christianity believes that when you die, you go up to heaven immediately. And so your uncle and your aunt and all your wonderful family Christians are all up having a joyous celebration with Jesus and they wish you were there. They're looking at their watches, hoping you show up soon. That's not true. 24 elders are not ex-human beings. They're celestial beings that are immortal. They never were human beings, and of course the animals weren't either. So they're singing this song, and they're not redeemed sinners. Now you get that idea from the King James Version, because this is how the King James Version reads in Revelation 5:9. it says that, for thou wast slain and thou dost redeem us. Redeem us. So it's, you know, sinners are redeemed. They're freed. God freed the sinners. But these 24 elders, how in the world were they redeemed by the blood? Thou dost redeem us by the blood. What? How is that possible? Well, he's not redeeming them by his blood. He's buying them. This is a translation issue. The concordant version naturally gets it right. Thou wast slain and thou dost buy us for God by thy blood. Now, here is a thy. I don't know why the thous and thys, but there it is. This is a common misunderstanding in religion. This is Jesus Christ died only for human beings. And so there's this very, very low grade spirituality, very limited vision, very me-centric, that says, you know, everybody wants to know in Christianity that Jesus died for me. Am I saved? Am I going to go to heaven? Me. And if you're lucky, they'll expand their meanness and take it out to their immediate family. Well, I hope he saves my mom and dad and my kids and Uncle Joe and Uncle Bob and Aunt Sue. But how about this? We're raising the viewpoint here, and we are seeing that the blood of Christ also bought us. This is the 24 elders and the animals. We were bought. We were bought, they say here. Thou dost buy us for God by thy blood. So an unknown fact is that the celestial creation is also removed from God by sin. Not all of them, but they were also bought. I mean, we are now saved sinners. But Christ bought everyone at the cross. He bought everyone and everything and every being. Everything was purchased. We're going to look at a parable in Matthew 13:44. I'm going to show you what I mean here. Let's just go there now, because this is a great truth. It's a universal truth that Jesus Christ did not just shed his blood for puny little man. And I mock the idea that Jesus Christ shed his blood for one dusty little nation in the Middle East. He shed his blood for the entire universe, for creatures we have never seen. And here's a testimony before the throne of God by the 24 elders, which are celestial statesmen, giants of the celestial realm, who are praising the Lamb for buying them, for buying them with his blood. He bought them. They were in some sort of trouble. They had a need. And so Jesus Christ's blood, wow, when you look now at his 6 hours on the cross, it takes even more epic proportions than what we first thought. Matthew 13:44. Like is the kingdom of the heavens to a treasure hidden in the field, finding which a man hides it, and in his joy is going away and is selling all, whatever he has, and is buying that field. So he finds a treasure hidden in the field. So the treasure might be what? Maybe this big. It's a treasure chest, let's say, right? Kind of like this big, like you see in the movies. And it's in the field, but instead of, to make sure he gets it, let's say, he overpays the price and he buys the whole field. He buys the whole field. He doesn't redeem the field, because redeem, this is important. King James says, thou dost redeem us. Redeem means to set free. But buy means that you're a slave. If you're set free, you're not a slave. But if he buys you, then you're a slave. So he buys the entire field. Now, Jesus Christ bought the universe. Now that he has it, he can do what he wants with it. Everything is his slave. So now he can redeem some early. Remember, God is the savior of all humanity, 1 Timothy 4:10, especially of believers. So he pays the price for the entire race. I'm talking about this in my Roman series I did a couple weeks ago, that Jesus Christ greater than Adam. He overpaid the price. Grace much more abounds over sin. Jesus Christ's work much more abounds over the sin of Adam. And so he buys the entire human race, looking at Romans 5:18-19. And from that human race, he can pick out, he can now redeem a few privileged ones and bring them in early. Now, likewise, we think he only bought the earth, only bought the world. Some people don't even think that. Some people don't even think he bought humanity. Some people don't even think that Jesus Christ is greater than Adam. But he bought the entire universe. And so, obviously, he buys the entire universe. He gains everything in that universe. And he gave everything he had. There's a scripture verse that says, All that a man has will he give for his soul. Now, Jesus Christ gave his soul. Scripture says, Leviticus, I believe, the soul is in the blood. Jesus Christ gave his blood. That's the price he paid for the field. And that is what the elders are singing and the animals. Worthy art thou to be taking the scroll and to open its seals, for thou wast slain and didst buy us for God by thy blood. The blood of Christ, everything he had, is the price he paid for the universe. And the blood of Christ overpaid. He overpays everything. Everything he does, it's not like he just barely squeaked by and got the last person. No, he got the last elder. No, he gets everything. Everything. That's why everything should acknowledge him as their owner, its owner. The animals are doing it. They know who owns them. The elders know who own them. And yet many in Christianity don't realize that he owns them. In fact, the false teachers in this judgment period of the unveiling of Jesus Christ are accused of disowning the owner who buys them. 2 Peter 2:1. Let's go there. 2 Peter 2, verse 1. Yet there came to be false prophets also among the people, as among you also there will be false teachers who will be smuggling in destructive sects, even disowning the owner who buys them, bringing on themselves swift destruction. They're disowning the owner who buys them. Who is that but Jesus Christ? And does not the doctrine of human free will disown Jesus Christ who buys them? He bought them. They're slaves. But they think that their eternal life depends on choosing him. So really, they buy him. They sit, and it's like he's dancing before them, hoping to be worthy, hoping for them to like him. And if they're satisfied with his work, if he performs well enough, then they'll adapt him. They'll adopt him. They'll buy him into their universe. What a disowning of the owner. That's sickening. That's sickening. So redemption frees, but one who is bought is a slave. Is a slave. It's nowhere said that the elders or the animals are redeemed sinners. So ignore the King James Version. They're bought. They're bought. The redeemed have been called, but the whole universe has been purchased. And because he has bought everything, that gives him the right to do with it what he will, because he is the owner. It's not like he's setting people free, and now they have nothing to do with him. He buys them, they're owned, and now he has the right to judge. He has the right to make vessels of dishonor. He has the right to do what he will with the clay. We talk about the potter and the clay all the time, but we don't often emphasize that the potter has bought all the clay. The potter bought every single substance that could be manipulated or managed. And he takes that substance, and some of it, for the time being, he makes a vessel of dishonor. Other of it, he buys, he redeems, I should say, and he makes vessels of honor. And he gives his faith early to us. He gives us belief, and we find ourselves redeemed. But that is such a small part of the whole picture. That is such a small thing. I don't want us at any time to get small, to get me-centric, and to imagine that we're the only reason he shed his blood. He shed his blood not only for us, but for these 24 magnificent spiritual beings at his throne. And this is only the beginning.